About a week and a half ago, I came across a quote. I'm going to have Abby put it up. I liked it. Here's what it says. Be yourself, everyone else is taken. I read that and it resonated. It's like, be yourself, don't try to be somebody else, everybody else is taken. It's true, isn't it? Here's what it's saying. God wants you to be the best version of you possible. We cannot be somebody else. We can learn from them, but we can't be them. So be yourself. Everybody else is already taken. So as I think about that, the Bible is loaded with examples of people that we learn from. For example, Thomas was a doubter, and Jesus kind of worked with him to get him past his doubt. You and I can relate to that. How about Martha? Martha was the one that was really into the house cleaning and cooking of the food, and she had to learn that she had to take times to sit at Jesus' feet. How about Job? Job suffered a lot, and we can learn from Job how he handled those difficult times. So the Bible is a book loaded with people that have modeled good things for us. We cannot be them. We have to be ourselves, but the point is this, we can learn from them. We can glean the life lessons and apply them to our life. So today the title of the message is this, how to be like David in a world filled with Goliaths. You know the story of David taking on Goliath. Goliath is 9 feet 6 inches tall. He is a big guy. He's a warrior. David is a young man, perhaps in his late teens, and he takes on the giant. And you know the story, he wins. And today, you and I need to be like David in a world that's filled with Goliaths. Now, let me define Goliaths. Sometimes a Goliath is inside of us. It's a personality trait. It's a habit. It's something we don't like. We may be short in temper. It's something inside of us that is a Goliath. It's giant. It's huge. Or a Goliath could be outside of us. Maybe it's with a relationship with another person. It's huge. It's bigger than we are. Or maybe it's a dream that you have in your heart that you believe God wants to fulfill, but it hasn't happened yet. And it's so big, there's no way you can do it in your own strength. In our story today, David is facing a Goliath. And what I want to do today is walk through the story and look at 5 ways we can be like David. I want you to leave here this morning with the championship mindset. God wants to make you into a champion of faith, period. We'll be celebrating communion toward the end of the service. But understand, God has destined you to be a champion of the faith, and we have to be like a David to knock down the Goliaths in our lives. So, 5 ways we can be like David. Number one, it's in your notes. The first thing is this. David was faithful in caring for his father's sheep. Now, being a shepherd is not a popular job. It's stinky and smelly. It's routine. It's monotonous. But here's the secret. David was faithful to doing that. And there's a reason why that's so important, to be faithful in small things. God is preparing you for the next chapter, the next event, the next challenge. And he uses your faithfulness to build going forward for the next challenge. Read with me verses 12 and 14 in your notes. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time, He was old and well advanced in years. David was the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. David is the youngest of eight guys. The older ones are old enough to enlist in the service. David cannot. He's too young. So David's assignment, according to his father's wishes, is he would take bread and cheese to the front lines where his brothers were. So he was like a shuttler, a courier, to take this food to his brothers. And so we find here that the footnote is that David was a tender of his father's sheep. Do not underestimate what you're doing today. You say, my life is just basic and boring and it's routine. Let me tell you, if you and I are faithful in doing those small things, God will use it to build a foundation in your life where he will entrust to you the higher challenge going forward. So that's what happened with David. He was faithful, and God was preparing him to take on a Goliath. In Colossians 3:17, Paul wrote, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So whatever you're doing today, just be faithful. And God will use that to prepare you for the next challenge. Here's a quote. Be faithful in small things because it is in them that your strength lies. There's power in faithfulness, and God honors that. So number one, David was faithful. You and I need to be that faithful in the small things of life. Point number two. The second thing, the way we can be like David is this. Wherever David went, he took his faith with him. Wherever David showed up, his faith was right there with him. Now, that seems pretty obvious, but read with me the first two paragraphs in your notes. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy. He has been a fighting man from his youth. I want you to catch something that in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 17, the first 35 verses do not mention the name of God or the Lord at all. It's not there. The only time God and the Lord is mentioned is in 36. You know who said it? David. What amazes me is the army, King Saul, were all there. Goliath came out and taunted the enemies of God, and they were stalled out. You see, when we face a giant, we can get paralyzed. It's overwhelming. It's more than we can handle. And the armies of God, including Saul, were overwhelmed. There's no mention of faith. There's no mention of God. A little boy by the name of David brings bread and cheese to his brothers. He comes to the battle line, and you know what he sees? He sees a Goliath. And he says to Saul, don't lose heart on account of this giant. Your servant will go and fight him. David brought his faith to the battlefield. Wherever David went, his faith went. When you go to your family gathering, your faith needs to go with you. When you go to work in your office, your faith goes with you. When you go to a sporting event, your faith goes with you. Wherever you go, wherever David went, his faith went with him. And he shows up on a battlefield of people who are godless in their approach to solve the problem. And David says, wait a minute. I believe in God, and the living God will deliver him into my hands. He brought it with him. And it's amazing to me, as I said, the entire army was faithless. No reference to God in the possibility of him showing up to help win the battle. David, a young boy, comes to the battlefield and says, wait a minute, God will deliver him into my hand. I've come to realize at any time somebody has a dream in their heart, there's going to be somebody that tells you you can't do it. I'm seeing this pattern more and more, and it's so evident. Here's David and says, you know what, I can take on Goliath. King Saul, the commander, says to this young David, here's what he says, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. It was a voice into David's life that you cannot do it. And I've realized every dream a church has or an individual has, somebody is going to come along and say you can't do it. It's guaranteed. The 10 spies or 12 spies went into the land of Canaan. 12 came out. Joshua and Caleb said, you know, we can do this with God's help. The other 10 said, no, we can't. The people are pretty big. How about Nehemiah? He went to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls around the city. And there's a guy by the name of Sanballat says, you can't do this. You should do it. He pushed back on Nehemiah. There's always somebody in the crowd to say that you will not, cannot do your dream. I want you to catch this insight. David's a young boy, but he did not listen to that voice. The voice of God in David's heart was stronger than the voice of King Saul into his life. David had to ignore it. Listen, you're here today and you have a dream that you want God to do something in your life, and people have said, I really don't know if you can really pull that off. Which voice are we going to choose to listen to? I remember having a meal with someone years ago in Florida, and this individual was telling me, he was sharing about his life. He worked for the post office. I think that's what his career was. He was one of the kindest, gentlest guys you'd ever know. Very, very generous and just an amazing guy. But here's what he said. There was a time in his life where he thought about going into ministry. But it never happened. And I don't know all the details around it, but as I reflect on that story, I do know this. He probably did not have the people around him, a voice or voices, that supported him to do it. I want to say a word to moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and to any adult. Do you realize that we have the power to do two things? You can kill somebody's dream, or you can fan it into flame and let them take off. We each have that ability. It's scary. Saul said to David, you cannot do this. David ignored it, and he went ahead and met Goliath head on. When I grew up in Iowa, for most of my high school years, I wanted to be an architect. It's just a dream, a desire I had in my heart. I was enrolled to go to Iowa State University. I'd been there, the orientation, enrolled. I was all set to go. My pastor, at that time in August, just before college would start in the fall, took me to a small Bible school in Iowa. And we went, and I just rode along with him. And one thing led to the other. I made an 11th hour decision to go to the Bible school rather than to go to Iowa State University. But I want to tell you about a voice that came to me during that time. Another classmate, Russ Porter and I, we both went to Vinard that fall. But here's what they said. You can't make a living going to a Bible school. Now, as a high school senior, it's kind of heavy stuff when you have people speaking into your life that's not real positive. I mean, It kind of gets to you, and you say, what do I do here? And they say, you can't make a living if you do this. And I ended up going. It's a good decision, helped me a lot personally. But the point is this, you're here today, and everybody here has the privilege and the responsibility of either supporting people's dreams or you can kill them on the spot. Can you imagine if David had listened to Saul and he said, you know what, Saul, you're right. The Goliath is 9 feet 6 inches tall. I'm just a kid. There's no way I can do that. And David's story would not be written if he had listened to the wrong voice. Be a voice of discernment. Some dreams in people's lives have to die. I mean, we all have been through that. You know, we get wacky dreams. On the other hand, be sensitive that if someone in your life has a sense of calling, a sense of feeling God leading them, let me tell you, you want to fan it in the flame the best that you can. Be supportive. Love on them. Encourage them. And David somehow got through it. And he says, I'm going to fight the giant anyway. Here's a quote I'll have Abby put up. To be a champion, you have to believe in yourself when nobody else will. You're here today and you've got a dream in your heart and you have had people tell you you can't do it. You shouldn't do it. It's foolish. You have to believe in yourself more than anybody else in order for God to pull it off. In the last couple of verses there under point two, David said to King Saul, hey, I killed the lion and the bear when I was a shepherd. You know, they're small things, but I took them on and I defeated them. And so therefore the Lord will deliver me from this Philistine. Here's what this is saying. The battles you're facing today on a smaller level are a preparation for confidence when you get to the bigger giant. That's how it works. We build on them. So go ahead and knock off the lion and the bear. Defeat them. You got to hang in there. Be faithful. God is preparing us for the next chapter, the next level of challenge in which he wants us to pursue. So number one, wow, David was faithful in caring for his father's sheep. And wherever he went, his faith went with him. Number three, the third thing that we can be like David is this. He depended upon God's power, not his own. He depended upon God's power. Read with me verses 45 and 47 in your notes. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saved. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. David had a perspective that it was about God's strength that would bring the deliverance. When the 10 spies came back from the land of Canaan, and they said, no, we can't do it, they were looking through it, they were looking at the problem through the lens of their own ability. Joshua and Caleb, on the other hand, had a different perspective. You know what it was? God's power will bring this about. If you're here today and you're in the midst of something, listen, when you shift your perspective that God is the one who will power you through whatever he's calling you to do, it makes all the difference. The battle is the Lord's. It belongs to him. It's in his strength. Zechariah says, not by might or by power, humanly, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Here's a quote I'll have Abby put up. The power of God will take you out of your plans and put you into the plan of God. In other words, if you can accomplish your dream on your own, it's probably not God-inspired, because if you can do it yourself, you can do it yourself. God is in the business of planting dreams into people's hearts that are bigger than we are, and it takes his ability and power to pull it off. And so the power of God will squeeze us out of what we think we can do to get us to a place of dependence on what he can do for us. Number four. The fourth thing, the way we can be like David is this. Using his giftings David ran toward Goliath and engaged him. Read with me verses 48 and 51 in your notes. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. You know what one of David's giftings was? He was good with a sling and a rock. I think he had years of practice as a shepherd. And he did it over and over again. You know what was happening? God was preparing him for a bigger battle, and he didn't even know it. He arrives there on the battle lines, and here's this big guy. He says, okay, it's in my heart. I can take him out. God is the living God, and he's defying the name of God. I will do this. There will come a point in your life, if you have a big dream that's bigger than you are, that you will become engaged in being a part of the answer, guaranteed. God will set things up, and we have to wait his timing. But there will come a point where you will get fully engaged, and you will use your slingshot, whatever that is. He will use your gifting and abilities to make something happen that is unique to you. Maybe you're a good decorator. Maybe you like to organize things. Maybe you like kids. Maybe you like senior citizens. Maybe you're behind the scenes. Maybe you're good at helping. Maybe you're good at leading. God will take your giftings, whatever they are, your talents, what you're good at, including a slingshot, and he'll use it to take down a Goliath in your life that God is calling you to be a champion for. Here's a quote from John Maxwell. Everything worthwhile is uphill. Can I tell you, if you have a dream in your heart for yourself or your family, and it's huge, it's big, it's something you really want to happen, it's going to take some work. Everything worthwhile is uphill. Isn't that true? I mean, there's a price to pay, but I'll have to tell you, when you pay the price, that's when you become the champion. And that's what happened with David. So David ran toward Goliath and engaged him. There'll come a point where whatever your Goliath is, inside or outside, we're a part of the solution. We got to cooperate with God and let his power work through us to literally do something that only he can do. All right, point number five. This is my favorite point of the whole message, all right? The fifth way we can be like a David is this. David's actions activated the faith of the entire army. Now, let me explain this. I'm going to read verses 51 and 2 there in your notes. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. In other words, David threw one stone, that's all it took, went into his forehead, it brought him down, he killed the giant, and the Philistines saw it and they began to run. Now, here's the neat part. The next word is this, then. Then. It's a conjunction. It connects. Something is about to change. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. I want you to catch something. For the first 50 verses of this chapter, the armies of God, Judah and Israel, were afraid and terrified. And they were taunted by the giant by the name of Goliath. David, a young boy, comes to the battlefield and says, wait a minute. I believe God will deliver this guy into my hand. I've got a sling I can use. And in fact, he did. And when that happened, everything changed. Notice with me, then the entire army got excited and they surged forward because they saw what one person through his faith did to a giant. The entire army got into it, and they surged forward, you know what, with a shout. You want to energize the people in your family or the people of the church? You just be the champion of faith of what God has called you to do. You go, you live life the best you can, and they will see you. They're watching you, and their faith will get activated because of one person's actions. Let me tell you, you can be a David in your family. They're watching you. And when you literally overcome something, a giant inwardly or outwardly, whatever it is, and they watch you and you come out on top, let me tell you, they'll take notice. But what warms my heart is that the entire army of Israel and Judah got excited and believed that they could defeat the enemy, but it took 50 verses for them to see David conquer a giant individually, and then they got excited about it. You can be a David in a church family. You know that? One idea, one thought, one conquering, one sense of overcoming something activates and encourages everybody in the entire group. You know what? You can be a David in your community. People are watching all the time. A church can be a David. What's going on? And when they see God at work, let me tell you, it just encourages other people. Here's a quote. When you lead, others will follow. David led, and then the entire army got behind him, although they weren't behind him for the first 50 verses. But when something happened and God showed up and he did this amazing thing, everything changed. Here's a quote I used last week. Just kind of come to a conclusion on this. God still uses champions of faith. And here's my challenge to each of us here today, those watching online. God has destined you to be a champion. You know that? He's called you to be one. He's purposed in your life to be one. In your home, with your family, and where you work. You are destined to be a champion. Just be like David. Take your faith everywhere you go and do the best you can in the small, faithful stuff. Use your gifting. Depend on God's power. And let me tell you, you will activate the faith of other people because they're watching your life. And they're saying, whoa, I'll get behind him or her. Because I see how they handled that situation in conquering the Goliath of their life. So this summer, here's the last slide. We've talked about being better together. When I read this text, there's a whole army out there, but they're godless and faithless. One young boy shows up. One person changes everything. We are better together because I need people that can believe God for things that I can't. And I see God work in their life. I said, whoa, that is way awesome. I'm going to be supportive. I want to get in line. I want to do all I can to help push that forward. Many projects happening, the pavilion dedication, the animals and that Pat talked about, and the military's in July, the pancake tents in August. That, folks, I want to talk about that going forward. That's an amazing opportunity, and I want to bring some clarity to our mission of the privilege of being able to be there on the fairgrounds. But it's an incredible summer, and we are better together. My landing point on this message is this. Be a David. Be like a David in a world filled with Goliaths. They're all around us. Because you can be the champion of something that God has called you to do that will activate and energize the faith of other people just because, listen, you believe the voice of God more than you believe the voice of Saul that says you can't do it. Everybody lives that. And David became the champion that made the difference for an entire army and literally energized the people of Judah in Israel when they fought the Philistines. Let's bow together in prayer. I want you to take a moment of silence. And God is speaking to hearts, and He's planting dreams and ideas into people's lives. And He's doing that right now. And I want you to listen to that voice. And let God show you what He's preparing you to take on. He'll show you. Say, God, here I am. And just pray a simple prayer and say, God, help me to be like David. Faithful in time of preparation. Help me to take my faith wherever I go. Help me to lean on Your power, not my own. Be willing to engage in the battle when the time comes. And then lastly, as you conquer your giant, you will activate the faith of the people around you because you have become a champion in an area that God will use your life to bless others. Father, as we now prepare to take communion, we just quiet our hearts and pray that You'll speak to us in such a way that by faith we will embrace the idea that You've called us to be champions of our faith. And we thank You that through Christ's death and resurrection, this is made possible. Open our hearts and minds to the calling, to the voice of Your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.